What's up? What's up, everybody? This is Max here again with a well overdue episode of Kozencast. Yes, it's still going on. Yes, it still exists. If you've not yet tuned in to our podcast, that's understandable. There's only been one full episode and an intro, but those two little pieces are, I think, worth checking out. So please backtrack through when you get a chance to catch our short little intro episode, as well as our at-length interview with our good friends in the now iconic, legendary Canadian rock band, Crownlands. I also want to quickly just give a shout out to Matt from Polarity, good friends of our band as well. And for all the help he gave us recently, Matt, if you're listening to this, we appreciate you. I can't say too much about it right now, but obviously you know what you helped us with, and a few others might be aware. And for the rest of you, that'll be vague and mysterious until all things are revealed in time. So shout out to Polarity, shout out to Matt, you guys are awesome. Shout out also to Talking Violet. I've not had the chance to catch them since we played with them last summer, but they are fellow partners in crime with us, in a sense, in sharing our wonderful manager, Brett, with them. And it's been cool to see them blowing up all over the place. So it's cool watching you guys from afar. Hopefully I can come through Windsor sometime and catch a show. And with all of that, time to get into the topic for this week. I'm starting up a series that I will be keeping up over the next little while, and it's going to be a more in-depth making-of series on our double EP, Swimming to the Stars. I did an extended YouTube piece on it a while ago, after it originally came out, but I felt like that long video ended up being a bit difficult to watch, just given the plainness of it all, and I also felt like it didn't have room to get in-depth into the songs in the way that I might want to. Now, over the course of this past summer of 2018, I was having a conversation with my sister wherein she essentially gave me the idea of doing in-depth track-by-track song stories, explaining how each one came to be, whether from a lyrical or musical perspective. It struck me as a good idea at the time, and I figured, why not? The process of making Swimming to the Stars was a huge, huge undertaking for me, spanning over the course of years. Meeting with tons of delays and an actual recall at one point, and a splitting of what was supposed to be an album into two EPs. This process also essentially gave birth to the band as we now know it, and moved it away from being my solo project. And that story, and the story behind each of these songs, has not yet fully been told. And I should mention, I do try to put a lot of thought and depth into most of the songs I write. They're usually pretty well constructed, at least from a lyrical standpoint, and sometimes I think some of the songs are so dense and perhaps obscure that the real stories behind them aren't really perceptible to the average listener. So, really quick, I know you might be thinking to yourself, why should I bother listening to this? One, if you actually like our music, then, you know, hopefully you gain something out of hearing the stories behind these songs. On the other hand, if you are maybe another band, another musician that's played with us before, I don't consider myself the greatest songwriter ever. You know, that's far from the truth. But I know I've always benefited from hearing about other people's process, learning from that, and figuring out things that I could apply to my own craft. And so I hope that in kind of showing the way I went about this, I guess, early approach to my songwriting, early relatively speaking, that is, it might be beneficial to someone to be like, oh, okay, that's something I could try at some point. Maybe it'll inspire some ideas of your own. I don't know. It's up to you to take this however you might. But that's basically it. I am going to narrate around those points. I'm going to give you the inside look at what these songs are about, how I went about making them, and how each of these songs contributed in some way to the creation of this band, Kozen. So before I get into the beginning of a track-by-track analysis, which is what this series is going to be, I figured I should take some time to establish the backstory behind how this whole musical journey got started for me and for us, which means we have to go back to the beginning.
Turn.
So this whole Kozen thing started with my attempt at a grindcore-inspired metal EP that clocked in at a grand total of about 16 minutes. The record was called Exit Flesh, and I had written it as a form of emotional catharsis for some pretty dark stuff. During my second and third years of university, I found myself emotionally overwhelmed and fighting against constant bouts of really burdensome and often overwhelming depression. I would lock myself away in my room as much as I possibly could, hid it all from people to the best of my abilities, and grew greater and greater contempt and dislike for myself. It was a dark moment in my life, and I'm not sure I would have climbed out of it had it not been for one friend who saw through my defenses, confronted me with her concern for my health, advised me to go to counseling, and actually offered to walk with me to the office where I could sign up to see a psychologist and begin working through the emotions that haunted and plagued me. That year of weekly counseling worked wonders for me. It changed my perspective on myself, on how I managed my internal life and my mind, and it gave me a new lease on life, really truly. During my final year of my undergrad, I took some time to write the Exit Flesh EP as a way to artistically capture the feelings and thought patterns I'd been experiencing. I figured I would benefit from having some way to not only get it out of my system, so to speak, but also to use my craft as an artist to paint a sonic picture, to describe what I had been going through using sounds. I figured if I could do that, I could sort of trap those experiences in those musical pieces. I was creating a capsule to contain those feelings, somewhere where I could observe them objectively, give them structure, language, form, and meaning, and then leave them there, contained. And it was in this process that I found myself planting the seeds of what would become Kozen. I had written this really brutal EP that was almost entirely death growls except for one melodic singing line, and it consisted of the best blast beats I could program into GarageBand at the time. But in the process of writing this music, I found myself also coming up with other discarded guitar ideas that reflected more of my other musical side, the side that leaned in a more melodic pop rock direction. I was in some ways exploring similar emotional themes, but from the brighter perspective that I had gained in my journey of self-improvement. Exit Flesh, as it was on its own, could not fully express the experience I was having at this moment in my life. And so, I decided to write two EPs, and to release them at different times. Exit Flesh, my raging catharsis, came out somewhere near the fall of 2012, and the second EP was finished by the spring of 2013. Now, there were lyrical bridges intentionally created between these two projects. One song on Exit Flesh, called Everything is Anticlimax, contained a verse that described the spiritual dimension of living with depression. The words went as follows. Straining eyes for silver lines in clouded judgment black, burning down my landmark monuments of progress, circle running frantic child to disbelieve the spirit that I've grieved, now I've been deceived. So this verse was an expression of my tendency to discredit my accomplishments, my good qualities, and any other good thing that might have brought me comfort in this time of depression, while also deceiving myself into thinking that I was quote-unquote looking for hope for the proverbial silver linings in black clouds. One of the things that happens for some people who struggle with depression is patterns of self-defeating thoughts that are just kind of, they compound on themselves. The worse you feel, the more you tear yourself down in some way or another. And for me, that was in the form of denying that I could do anything right, negative self-talk. Obviously, there are more factors involved than that, and for some people, that's not the issue, but for me, it was a huge issue, and my thought patterns were very self-destructive. So this was me trying to narrate that experience. Now, the second half of the verse speaks of kind of a Christian idea of the indwelling spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and that this Spirit of God living inside of a person can experience grief when we allow ourselves to be overcome by darkness and evil. Now, for me, writing this particular song was a way to describe this experience, was a way to help me process the destructive thought patterns that had fed my depression. But it was also a lyrical bridge to another song that I would go on to write, whose chorus was a thematic reversal of the same lines. So where I had said, "Circle running, frantic child, to disbelieve the spirit that I've grieved, now I've been deceived," I would go on to write these words. "In these cycle raging, frantic winds, I'm a child whose heart believes there's a spirit I've received who sets me free." Using the same rhyme scheme and thematic structure, I wrote the first song for my next EP, No Orphan. So having come out of one experience and stepped into another, No Orphan represented a change in perspective. It was my response to Exit Flesh. It was me taking a new angle on how I thought about myself and really stepping into that new identity. Now, my life had its own share of stresses and exasperations leading up to No Orphan. I had more personal tragedies on the way to that EP being made. There was a death in my family. The intensity of my senior year of university was a huge stress for me. There was a lot of distress that came from continuously having to question my worldview and theology for various reasons, a lot of which were school-related. And there was one huge, staggering heartbreak that left me in pieces. These things all shaped the rest of the songs that would create the No Orphan EP. So it's not like everything became perfect. It's not like life was just, a walk in the park, but I had a new perspective. I had a new angle on things, and I was going to approach musically and artistically processing my experiences from a different perspective. And you have to keep in mind, these are pieces of music that I uploaded as zip files for people to download for free. This wasn't some major wide release. I was doing this for myself. I was doing this as a way to think through my life. And it really helped. It really did make a difference. And listening back to those pieces of music now, I can literally hear my personal growth between those songs. I've always said that I've struggled as a person to journal. It's just not something I can bring myself to do. Writing prose about my life is, it's annoying and it's boring, and I can never get into it for all the times I've made the commitment to try. But journaling my life experiences through songwriting has been transformative. And it's one of the reasons why I think I'm never going to stop doing it, because it's been such a help for me to get things out there that I need to get out. And so by planting seeds early on while creating Exit Flesh, I had set myself up to grow further as an artist when I made No Orphan. And that EP was decidedly lighter in tone, even though I was still keen on distorted guitars and solos. It was metal-ish, but not really. Fast-ish, but not really. And definitely on the melodic side. It sounded like perhaps what you'd get if an acoustic singer-songwriter decided to write a hard rock album. But this essentially became the template and the basis for the sound that I wanted to explore. Especially that title track, No Orphan, and the closing number, The Cave Diver, stood out to me as high-energy progressive rock songs that experimented with harmony a bit more than the mainstream rock sound might allow for. I had finally, after all of that, found something of a sound of my own, and was beginning to think that maybe, just maybe, I might be able to develop it into something that could make an impact. Maybe. And as suddenly as I had put out that EP, graduated from university, and gone on the job hunt over that summer, I got hired to work as a missionary in Kenya, and I left my music equipment all behind. So I spent 1 year in Kenya working at a boarding school in the boys' dorm. Between my duties running that dorm and teaching a couple classes, I managed to write a couple demos here and there, some covers of old church songs, all, by the way, on borrowed guitars since I did not have my own with me. It couldn't keep me from writing songs. I couldn't keep me from writing songs. It was my outlet, my expression, my way of keeping myself sane as I processed new experiences, increased responsibility, and again, more trouble coming to terms with my own religion. Working at a religious school was a mixed bag of experiences. On the one hand, I had an amazing time exploring the incredibly beautiful country of Kenya, and I met some people who I believe will go on to be lifelong friends of mine. On the other hand, working for a school run by my own religious organization confronted me with the harsh reality of an imperfect church, of a biased Western cultural perspective, a disregard for cultural sensitivity, and my own problematic lack of preparation to take on this job and perform it as well as I ought to have. It was like opening up the floodgates all over again. But emotions were being constantly dragged out of me, poured out on the floor, so to speak, and I had to pick up those borrowed guitars and do some emotional cleanup. After my 1 year contract was up, I came home to Canada and found myself shaken, distraught, confused, and somewhat aimless. Having jumped headfirst into, you know, the work of Christian ministry, i.e. what my degree was supposed to have prepared me for, I found myself contemplating not only leaving that career behind, but also parting ways with my own denomination of Christianity. I don't think I ever really considered abandoning believing in God. That was never really on the table for me, but I did seriously consider leaving organized religion behind. From my perspective, not only had the man-made side of religion proven hollow and harmful, doing more harm than good, but I had been part of the machine, part of that system, and I hated it. But this angst renewed a fascination for me. What if I could actually get serious about making music instead of all this other stuff that I've been doing? I had taken some time to demo out my new song ideas that I'd written during my time away, and I'd passed them off to my friend Kyron Newbery. We had met in university, you know, prior to this, and kept in touch here and there, and I knew he was a musician and figured he could give me some critique. "I might do something with these songs someday," I said, carelessly handing off the MP3s, thinking little would come of it. And his response was unbelievably more decisive. "Max," he said, "we are going to make this record." Kyron and I spent a couple weeks recording his drum parts, and I found myself spending, after that, almost a year constructing the rest of the songs around those drum parts, all while learning more and more about how to actually produce a record. During that time, my immediate family basically all moved to the USA, and I lived on my own for a year while working part-time in an internship with, guess what, my church. Yes, again, they managed to sneak me back into the game. You'll find this to be true over and over again as you listen to this series. I never quite managed to get myself outside the circle of influence of religion. It is, in fact, an integral part of the journey. But I kept working on the record. During that time, I met Sid and John, began playing as a volunteer musician at their church as well, and began developing friendships with them and the people in their circles. It wasn't long before I brought John on board to record some bass guitar, brought Sid on board to track some piano parts, and reconnected with my buddy Jericho, who I had met at school. Everything came together when some church acquaintances got a hold of me, asking me about possibly doing a show in Ottawa in conjunction with an event that they were having. Swimming to the Stars had not yet been completed at that point, but there was enough there to have some new songs to try out. Now, mind you, I was still acting as a solo artist, but this one show in the middle of my album process brought together myself, John, Sid, and Jericho for the first time to perform together. An event that I think goes down in most of our minds as our first show, in spite of the solo artist label. But when I finally got around to releasing Swimming to the Stars for the first time, I ran into a problem. Some of the songs were pretty heavy, full of distorted guitars and some screaming, while others were super soft, acoustic guitar driven, and essentially full-on pop songs. The album didn't make sense. It had seemingly two different sides to it. And there it was. I had come back around full circle to Exit Flesh and No Orphan, caught between my metal impulses and my pop music impulses. It is, seemingly, the defining and haunting characteristic that is unescapable for my writing style, and it's not yet been fully harmonized. I pulled the music off of the internet, reworked the song order, split the album in half, and added new music to round out two EPs. I relaunched the album as Swimming to the Stars Side A, the heavier stuff, and Swimming to the Stars Side B, the lighter stuff. It was during this editing process that Brett Santacona also stumbled across my Bandcamp page and contacted me. He'd been a friend of Sid's since high school and was pursuing a management career in music. He offered to start booking me some shows if I could get a full band together. With Kyron's work in, you guessed it, church-related employment really taking up more time, he bowed out and made room for Jericho's younger brother Jared to jump on board. And with that, I re-released Swimming to the Stars as a double EP and re-released myself not as a solo artist, but as a member of a band, Kozen. The process was circuitous and somewhat aimless, but the process of creating this album made this band exist. So there you are. I've just told you a long-winded introductory story about how this band came into existence through a really weird, kind of unplanned process of mishaps and circumstance and emotional turmoil and wild chances being taken and leaping into the unknown. And while I hope you've enjoyed the story so far, but I'm sure that there may be some lingering questions like, why does this matter? And so, I want to leave you with just a handful of thoughts, little takeaways that hopefully will be of value to you. Number one, always be on your craft. If you're a musician, that means you're always writing songs and practicing, but whatever your discipline might be, always be on that. Be making something new, coming up with new ideas, refining your previous theory, whatever it might be. always be on your craft. You never know when an opportunity is going to come for you to make the next step. And whether that's a giant leap or humble little small steps like I've been making, you want to have new material. You want to have something that you're currently working on. It sharpens you, it helps you refine what you do, and it keeps you on top of your game. I wouldn't have been able to do any of the things that I've done so far if I hadn't been staying on top of writing songs all the time, no matter what I felt like. And that leads me to number two. Embrace everything. If you are a creative type, if you're the type of person who writes, whether it's prose stuff, whether you're a blogger, whether you're a YouTuber, whether you are a teacher, whether you are whatever it might happen to be, if you're anyone who requires some kind of creative work in what you do, embrace everything that happens in your life, even if it's terrible, even if you can't condone it or really accept it, embrace what happens. Take everything as an artistic prompt. When life gives you lemons, you take the lemons and force them to be art. You do that because every moment, every event in life is an artistic opportunity, is a chance to create, is a chance to reinterpret the things that happen around you in a beautiful way, and to hopefully say something that will make a difference to someone, and at very least, make a difference for yourself. So, over the next few weeks, I want to give you a look into these songs, to get inside my headspace, and to experience how the music took shape. I'm going to be pulling in clips from the recording process, blooper reels, musical blooper reels, and, little interview segments I've done with some of the other people who were involved in it. But while we're going to be taking this journey, I also want to ask, how about you? What experiences have shaped you as a creative, expressive, living, breathing person? We all have a story, and I've found that many times we can see our own stories in the stories of other people. That's what I hope I can give to you with this podcast series. Not just an explanation of how I write songs or how I started a band, but a chance for us to examine our own humanity, our own spirits, our own journeys, and to appreciate the mysterious power behind all human growth. In short, I'm inviting you into my story so that you can hopefully use it as a prompt to explore your own. That, to me, is the most worthwhile part of all.
What's up, everybody? I'm here to readjust my microphone stand because this is not serving my purposes right now. So I'm going to completely retake this in a second.